Before we start today's show, tell you to head on over to the Oxford Exxon and the Oxford Crystal Highway 6 West. Get the Kool-Aid slushies, $1.49 for grape, $1.49 for green apple. They're made with Sprite. They're delicious. They're great for summer. Also, cold cream and delicious hand-spun milkshakes. We got chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and Oreo there when you head on over on Highway 6 West. Lunch specials, ribs, much more at the Oxford Exxon and the Oxford Crystal. Remember, now a blue sky convenience store there with the Oxford Exxon, so check them out for those summer treats. Also, we're coming to you from the Clark Ford studio, where you don't have to worry about haggling. You just call Corey Clark, 257-1900, that's 662 on an area code, Highway 25 South in Amory. He gives you the best deal you can get. You can shop it around. You can not shop it around. You will get the best deal from Corey and those guys at Clark Ford, and when you tell them that you heard it on the podcast at the end, you get $500 extra off, so you can't beat that between Clark Ford and the Oxford Exxon. Now let's get on with the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parm, Neil McCready back together in the Clark Ford studio as Neil has returned. Get to hear someone other than me talk today. Chris Brooks, Mississippi Gridiron, joining us. He has a show on ESPN Radio in Jackson from 12 to 2. He also is the architect of this Mississippi media bracket. We really didn't mean to talk about that very long, but that dovetailed in some other discussions as we had a good talk with Chris.
It actually
today
ended up being a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, there's information in here you have not heard, actually. So
a lot of it, actually, more I think about it. And then we talk about some of the people in the poll, and we talk about our business a little bit, which is fascinating.
A little bit of everything.
I think there's a lot that, yeah, if you think, oh, they're going to talk 45 minutes of Mississippi high school football, nope, be careful, because you're going to miss some good stuff.
Yeah, we talked 5 minutes of Mississippi high school football.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. Anyway, thanks to Chris. We'll get to him here in a little bit on the show. You heard us talk about the Oxford Exxon and Clark Ford a second ago before we hit the play button, but I also want to tell you that Craddock Oil Company is presenting the 2017 Jimmy John's Football Camp. You got A.J. Jefferson as the keynote speaker, state player from North Pike. You've got Ben. You got Jimmy John's. A lot of schools coming together here, Neil. A lot of representation for this one. Really just people helping people, people getting along.
Every time you say Jimmy John's, I think about the sandwich people.
And then instead of the player.
And then I remember, oh, wait, there's a player. I remember that.
Alabama.
Yeah, I was working in Alabama when all that
stuff
went
down. That was
probably
a fairly big deal at the time.
It was a big story.
So that's Saturday, July 22nd. Registration's from 8 to 9 a.m. It's at Macomb High School. For more information, call 601-320-4796. There's also a early bird registration. When you go to Eventbrite, go to eventbrite.com and search Jimmy John's Football Camp to do that. So this is going to be it's community building. This is life skills. This is some football training, too. So a really good thing just to get your kid involved there. They're also announcing the Jimmy John's and Ben Craddock Brotherhood Scholarship during this event as well. So Macomb High School coming up. Call that number for more information. Neil's well-rested. He's got the takes ready today as we actually not well-rested. You're yawning.
I'm exhausted.
If you say you're kind of out of it. You've done the whole you need a break after the break now, don't you?
I need a vacay from the vacay.
Is that what the kids say these days?
And I've got to get up early in the morning because Caroline's flying to Houston to spend a week with her cousins.
Really?
And she's got a 6:30 flight from Memphis. So, and I'll need to get a gate pass so that I know people go, well, just drop her off. No, I'm going to get her to the gate. But so I've got to go get a gate pass, and you know there will be 4,000 questions. And no offense to the Memphis airport, but you guys are not the most efficient airport out there.
It's a bit of a ghost town now, though.
Well, and so when they get a full flight, it's a struggle.
Because they're not used to it?
I guess.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Oh, no.
All right, getting to some news here. I detailed what I knew yesterday, probably is what you know today, but I'm still going to get you to opine on it. Jamarco Pickett, where are we as we get into Friday morning?
It appears that that ship is, if it has not sailed, it is fully gassed in the port. They've taken the ropes away, and it's getting ready to push off. And once it starts sailing, it's long gone.
So you're not optimistic that Pickett will be a member of the Ole Miss roster in 2017-2018?
It's hard to get one by you. It really is.
I've been doing this a long time.
I'm not optimistic at all.
All right.
I'm quite pessimistic, in fact.
When did this start running off the rails?
Okay. I'm glad we're going here.
You're closing your computer to get started here.
Yeah, because
Neil has this look before he really gets going, and he kind of like he kind of bats his eyes a little bit, and he cocks his head. He puts down whatever he's holding, shifts the microphone, and we have done the setup position here. It's like the home run. It's like when Mike Trout starts the ignition.
I was gonna say it's like in baseball when a power hitter loads.
Yeah,
you have to load.
You need a trigger. You just hit the trigger.
You have to load, and then you have a pause, and then you have a trigger. Well, every good hitter has load, pause, trigger.
Well, now we have the trigger.
Okay.
Okay.
It started when Andy Kennedy was not extended. So, listen, and there's two sides of this that everybody gets into, and I'm going to handle it all right here. I'm going to handle the personal part where people go, you're a Kennedy apologist. I'm not a Kennedy apologist. If you want to fire Andy Kennedy as an institution, that's your right. It's your right. If you want to fire Andy Kennedy, fire Andy Kennedy. He works for you under contract, and if you feel, whether it's because you don't think you've won enough or because you think the program is stale or because you think it's just time for change or because you just think back on the deal in Cincinnati a decade ago and go, nope, I'm not over it. Whatever reason, it's cool. You have the right to terminate him as your head basketball coach. And at that point, you pay him what he's due, and you move on. Would there be people that would argue that Andy Kennedy that it was a wrong move? Yes, there would be people that would argue that it was the wrong move. There would be people that would argue that it was the right move. We would have that argument, yes. But that none of that is really matters a bit. But in my opinion, Ole Miss had two choices at the end of the basketball season. When Ole Miss lost to Georgia Tech in the quarterfinals of the NIT and therefore ending the season, they had two choices. You either fire Andy Kennedy and commence with the job search, or you extend Andy Kennedy as you've always extended Andy Kennedy so that when he's out on the recruiting trail, he has the ability to say to a kid, hey, I'm under contract for your entire career. So, Ole Miss tried to thread the needle. Now, it's my opinion, and other people will disagree. It's my opinion, Ross Bjork would have extended Andy Kennedy. Would have rolled the contract over, made the buyout back to what it always was, where it was the full contract. That's my opinion. Has Ross told me that? No. But it's my opinion. It's a pretty educated opinion. I'm pretty vehement about it. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. I don't think anybody else over there. These people are dealing with a lot of crap. You got this football thing that's a problem. This football thing's a big problem. It's potentially a nightmare. You're telling me they're going to borrow more trouble? You're telling me that at the end of March that Ross Bjork wanted to do a coaching search in basketball? I don't believe it. I don't believe that's what he wanted to do at that time. They were busy with other things. Football's the cash cow, and the cash cow's in trouble right now. You got to work on the cash cow. You're not worried about what's happening in soccer or volleyball or men's tennis or baseball or any of that stuff right now. You're really not. You're worried about, hey, what happens if this football thing blows up, and how can we avoid this thing from blowing up? You're not borrowing trouble on basketball. That's all my opinion. So somebody above him, and there aren't many, who could have made this call, decided no. Someone got in Jeffrey Vitter's ear. Maybe it was someone's. About a couple of things. I don't know. I've heard different things.
We've heard different names.
I've heard different names, and I've heard different things. I've heard that there are some people that don't think that Andy Kennedy is out there enough spiritually on Twitter and such. I don't really believe that to be true. Honestly, we checked it out. It would be an awesome story. I mean, you talk about hits now. We'd get podcast hits and Twitter hits for days. For those of you who think we're all about hits, we'd be getting hits on that. It didn't check out. Then we heard that someone just got in his ear about, hey, you could be better. You should be better. You should be a better basketball team. The product on the floor should be better.
Built an arena.
Built an arena. By God, the kids should come. Let's go. I do believe that's true.
That for some people, the arena was the cornfield in Iowa.
Couldn't say it better. If you build it, they will come. And you built it, and they haven't yet come. Except for the fact that he put together probably his best recruiting class. So then the thing comes out about no extension. And people say, well, you know, Kennedy is the reason that got out. Well, let's address that. Because I think Ole Miss offered Andy Kennedy a little compromise-y thing.
Basically a non-guaranteed extension, which would, from an optic standpoint, allow him to say he's under contract for 4 years.
But not something that really rolled the contract over. And Andy Kennedy's the most real person I've ever covered. No spin, no BS, just straight. He'll walk in and tell you at the end of the game, that product's not good, that was my fault. I made a recruiting mistake. Do you hear that? How often do you hear that from other coaches? Coaches spin. We're going to go to SEC Media Days in 2 weeks, and 14 coaches are going to step up there, and they are all going to spin.
Great offseason's bigger, faster, stronger.
Man, we just love this team. Love this team. And then in November, you'll hear, yeah, I had concerns about this team. Well, you didn't say that in July. Andy will tell you in July. Got a little concern. So, what happened? Ole Miss offered him the little, and he said, no, I'm not doing that. He didn't bitch and moan. He just said, I'm not doing that. And then when people asked him, hey, did you get your contract extended? Nope. Okay, well, they've always extended it, so now that's news. That news gets out. Here, answer your question. They've now lost two players, Parker Stewart and JaMarco Pickett. Parker Stewart used the contract thing as an excuse. Parker Stewart, when Ole Miss signed Markelle Crawford, saw the writing on the wall. I'm getting redshirted, or I'm going to have a really small role. My dad didn't want me to go to college in Mississippi anyway. Not Ole Miss, in the state. Here's an excuse. Because Bill Armstrong left. When this all went down, Bill Armstrong, who was, let's be honest, not particularly happy about Ole Miss's hiring of Raheem Lockhart. Bill Armstrong was essentially kind of getting a sort of a demotion sort of a thing. And he didn't like it. No one likes that. But on top of that, LSU was able to offer Bill Armstrong something that Ole Miss couldn't offer. Three-year deal. Two-year, three-year. I think it's a three-year. Maybe it's a two-year. Whatever.
Multi-year contract.
What he had at Ole Miss was a one-year deal. And he just heard, because listen, that he just based when Vitter doesn't roll the contract over, that tells you, you win or else. Well, in a sport where only five people play, and you build your season, let's be honest, around two or three people, one of those cats get hurt, your season changes. We've seen it. 2 years ago, that team was on its way to being an NCAA tournament team. Moody got hurt. Saiz got hurt. All of a sudden, they had a handful of losses. They weren't a tournament team anymore.
We watched Chris Warren go down on a court in Louisville one time.
And that was the end of that.
Or wherever it was.
It was in Cincinnati. It was the day after the...
They play in Louisville?
They were playing Louisville.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Bill Armstrong's married with five kids. Stability matters. Money's the same. Stability? No stability? I'll take the stability, thanks. So, he's gone. So, Stewart had excuses. Oh, hey, the coach that recruited me is gone. The coach didn't get rolled over. Reality is Markelle Crawford's there, and I'm pissed.
So, Parker Stewart's a pit.
And then Jamarco Pickett.
The thing with Pickett tells me there's been people in Pickett's ear the entire time asking him to change his decision.
That's true. Okay. He was at a prep school kind of a thing. He's a kid from D.C., surrounded by a lot of people at D.C. that are your typical hangers-on. They want a piece of him. They think he's the next, you know, Kevin Garnett or Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they think, hey, we're going to all just hang
ride
on.
Ride some coattails.
We're going to ride a coattail all the way to the big bucks. Here's the gravy train. Because Pickett sort of blew up as a prospect after Ole Miss signed him.
Yep.
So the contract thing happens, the Armstrong thing happens, and all of a sudden the people that are in his ear have ammunition. Hey, man, you're going to go down to school in Oxford, Mississippi. You're a D.C. boy. You're going to go to school in Oxford, Mississippi, and all the people who recruited you are going to be gone in a year. Why go? Well, I don't know when the last time you guys were 18, but that resonates.
Just don't show up.
And so he just doesn't show up. So Ole Miss is left to either go, well, we're going to hold your feet to the fire on your scholarship. But even if he shows up now in August, he's missed the offseason program. He's behind. Pickett is a loss for down the road, not for this year. But regardless, that's what happened. Now Ole Miss's problem is that if you're on the recruiting, if I'm let's pick a coach, pick another SEC program,
Avery Johnson.
Kentucky. Avery Johnson, perfect. I'm Avery Johnson. I've coached against Andy Kennedy. I've lost, I've won. I've lost more than I've won. But I've lost and I've won. They're on about the same level as me, maybe a little ahead of me, really, if I'm honest right now. And it's down to me and Ole Miss and Tennessee and Arizona State on a kid. Kid's sitting in the living room. He goes, yeah, I'm thinking about Ole Miss. Well, let me tell you, they didn't roll his contract over. If he doesn't win next year, he's out. You sign with Ole Miss in November, bud. Hey, it could go bad. Andy's a good coach. I like Andy. Good person. Good dude. But, hey, he's been there a long time, and they want change. Those people there, they want Mike White. That's what they want. They want one of their own. They don't like him. Got to be careful going to Ole Miss. And the coach at Tennessee tells the kid the same thing. Yeah, Andy's good. Good coach. I like Andy. Good guy. He's in trouble over there. Kind of reminds me of when I was at Texas. When they get tired of you and they don't roll your contract over, kid's sold on that now. It's over. And that's what's happening to Ole Miss right now on the recruiting trail. All the momentum is completely gone. And Andy's going to have to put clauses in every NLI that he signs. That the NLI is null and void if the head coach is gone. They've, for whatever reason, Jeffrey Vitter and the people who got in Jeffrey Vitter's ear have completely stonewalled their own program, which begs the question, if you're going to stonewall your own program, just fire the guy in March. You had every right to fire Andy Kennedy in March. And I'm not saying they should have. I'm not saying they shouldn't have. I don't care. Andy Kennedy's going to be fine. But for the people who go, well, Andy Kennedy did this to himself because, no, give Andy Kennedy some credit. He's always been a straight shooter. He's not going to sit and lie to everybody about his contract being extended when his contract wasn't extended. He shot straight. They didn't roll me over. He'd like to know why. That's all he ever asked him was why. Didn't ever really get an answer. But he didn't throw a fit. There's no protest. He understands that he works at the leisure of the chancellor, at the university's leisure. If the university decides that they don't want Andy Kennedy, they'll fire him. He's smart enough to know that every college basketball coach and every college football coach in the country gets hired to be fired. You're not many dudes make it with never getting fired, kind of like being in talk radio.
Yeah, no.
So that's what's happened, and it doesn't. It like I said yesterday on the message board, it's the decision. Had they decided to fire him, or had they decided to roll his contract over, you could debate it. But either one of those decisions from a strategic standpoint would make sense. Doing what they did didn't make sense. And it shows a lack of awareness. Your job as an AD and as the chancellor is not to make the job more difficult. It's to make the job easier so that the people that you hire can win, where if they don't win, you can look yourself in the mirror and say, I gave this person every opportunity and he slash she couldn't get it done. Next.
Yeah.
They can't say that now.
So now the signing class is Bruce Stevens, Devontae Shuler, and Markel Crawford.
And it's still a damn good class. And those are the three kids out of that class that they were counting on
play
for next
now.
Year.
Yeah.
So what happens next year if Ole Miss doesn't win? Well, that's pretty apparent. They're going to make a change. What happens if they do win? What happens if they do win? What happens if – because here's the key to that whole deal. Markel Crawford gives you another shooter, another defender. Not far-fetched. He gives you 15 points a night.
Shuler locks down another guard or something on the other team.
Everything I hear about Shuler is a little better offensively right now than they thought he would be. So this whole team comes down to Dominic
Olechinik or whatever.
And Bruce Stevens. Well, they're pretty high on Dominic. Stevens showed up a little out of shape.
Defense is the question.
But he's skilled.
Yeah.
They can work 15 pounds off of him.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you win?
Yeah.
What happens if this team – you tell me, seriously. This team wins as an 8-9 seed, losing the second round of the NCAA tournament to a 1 seed. What happens then?
I mean, Ole Miss would like to max him back out, but you've
– Well, now you've – but you've killed his recruiting. I think damage is done personally. I think something has to give one way or the other. I don't know what that is. I don't see how this. A lot has to be addressed for everybody to kind of move on, and I don't know that it's as simple as that. You just extend the contract out and give him a great big raise and hold a press conference, because at that press conference, people are going to ask, why did you do what you did? And if the answer is a bunch of corporate BS, no one's going to buy it. Including the people that you recruit against.
We'll continue to follow that. So there is that topic for today. Podcast brought to you in part by Right Way Meds, located in Holly Springs. Not your typical pharmacy. Whether you need them to manage your medication, they help you out there, because the medicine comes in strip packets where you tear off the first dose of the day. Next dose ready when you are. Makes it easy, makes it convenient, and can help save a life in the process. Also, they deliver your medicine straight to your door. No more unwanted trips to the pharmacy. No more having to go get in the car and make that travel that you don't want to do. They deliver to your door. So, again, rightwaymeds.com. You can also check them out if you're a medical provider or a doctor to see how they can help your compliance numbers. That's 888-252-3773, 252-3773, rightwaymeds.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a small business owner, you know Visa's rules recently changed, allowing owners to pass credit card processing costs on to their customer as a line item along with the sales tax. Journey Business Solutions has a fully integrated solution to make that simple for business owners. You just swipe the card just like you do today, and you pay zero for credit card processing. Journey Business Solutions also has the latest and greatest technology with Apple Pay, EMV chip processing, next day funding, and more. If you're ready for something more than the terminal, Ben Brown and team has a tablet point of sale system that does inventory, marketing, loyalty rewards, employee scheduling, and time cards. It makes your life easier. It normally costs $1,200, but you let Ben know that you heard about that on the podcast. You get it all at no cost and still save monthly versus what you are paying to process today. Journey Business Solutions can do business nationwide. They often work with merchants previously declined and can get you out of your contract. send Ben an email at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. That's Journey, B-I-Z, solutions.com. The process is very easy. He will get back with you right away to get you started. Also should tell you that registration for Oxford Park Commission Youth Soccer for the fall 2017 season currently going on through July the 7th. So you got about a week. Cost is $55 per child, and there is a multi-child discount available. The age range is 4 to 16, classified via year of birth. This year's season begins in late August. It runs through October. Schedules will be posted 2 weeks before the season begins, and games will be played at FNC Park. You can learn more at oxfordparkcommission.com, and I think you were saying there's a tennis deadline today.
Yeah, quick start for kids. The Quick Start Tennis Program is a national initiative to get kids involved in tennis, smaller court, bigger tennis balls, different things. The deadline for that is the end of today.
Okay. And the podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer, Tuna Chase of Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, it's snapper and cobia are the most popular trips to take. The snapper season in Mississippi waters runs through Labor Day. Another popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time, but you want to get some fishing in, is the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail. So if you want to do any of that, and if you're heading down to the beach for the holiday weekend and you're looking for something to do, give John a call, 228-348-7817. His website is tunachasacharters.com. That's tuna, C-H-A-S-A, charters.com, or visit his Facebook page.
Now let's go to Chris Brooks with Mississippi Gridiron on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Chris, thanks for taking some time with us this morning. I kind of laughed. You took an idea from the state fan group. You did this Mississippi media bracket over the last couple days, and even though you went completely out of your way to point out how you seated everybody, our message board, Twitter, other places thought you really sat down, put this thing together, and seated this bad boy based on your personal opinions.
Yeah, I knew they would. Look, I put it in as many places as I could, but seeding is based on Twitter following, and that's it. And look, I will readily admit that is a very cowardly move on my part to try to remove myself from the rankings, because you guys know better than anybody what happens when you put out anything about anything. It doesn't matter what you rank, somebody's mad about it. Or for that matter, it doesn't matter what you do. Somebody's mad about how you did it or why you did it or for some reason. But look, I'm not a huge fan of these brackets. I mean, they're cheap clicks, and you get a ton of traffic for nonsense, and I readily admit that. But you get a ton of engagement. Look, when I put that thing out last night, Chase, I want to say our Twitter account over 4 hours had about 90 to 100,000 impressions. Okay, so I mean, it is a way to engage fans and to kind of get through the summer. And look, for me, it's a way to talk about anything other than the NCAA, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and anything I can do to divert away from that, I'm game.
Yeah, that's what's funny about it is when I saw it, I said, that's genius, and Neil would know better than me, and you would know better than me. That's filling up hours of summer radio when nothing else is going on before we actually get into football season. Anything that you can talk about that people give two craps about that gets some engagement and kills some hours from a kind of a fun, friendly environment is a good thing.
Oh, anything. And you know, give me I like to do some nonsense on radio. Okay, and I like to have fun on there. And look, we try to make even this NCAA stuff, you know, on occasion when we can, stray away from being serious. I try to have fun with it. So the opportunity to pit media member against media member and somehow dissect the way they do their job on the air and have a little fun with it, you know, I'm all on board on that.
I'm overseeded. I'm just going to let you know. I didn't deserve a 6 seed. I probably should have been a 14. I should be a 15 or a 16 and be a one and out. Just
no, out. Are you kidding?
No, I'm totally serious, because I don't use Twitter for my job much. Not nearly as much as I should, although I'm sitting here reading a Clay Travis column where I start walking away from – I'm already walking away from this column going, well, I'm actually doing a few things right. I don't use Twitter for work much. I use it a little bit. Like I post my Sunday 10 thoughts. I'll put them on Twitter, but only because it's advertised. Only because it's a sponsored piece of content. we'll put like our instant analysis from games on Twitter because it's a sponsored piece of content. I'll retweet the podcast link most days because it's a sponsored piece of content. Like I very rarely put like any quote hot takes from Ole Miss or SEC stuff on Twitter because I'm being honest here. I don't know that I'm enough of an authority to do it, and I don't know that anybody would care.
No, you're probably right. But you guys, you're on a message board already, so you don't have to use Twitter as a medium.
Yeah.
And truthfully, for you guys, if I was dealing with a message board 24/7, okay, and, man, it's almost like, I mean, it's not parenting, but, I mean, you're overseeing this thing, and you're in the middle of scuffles when it gets out of line, and just monitoring those things. I know how much work goes into it. If I'm already doing the message board thing and engaging fans there, there's no way I get on Twitter and then all of a sudden deal with that nonsense on top of what I'm already dealing with. But look, in some kind of sick way, you know, when I started doing this, and especially when I started doing the radio stuff last year, you have so much nonsense on Twitter, and there's so much fighting. In a sick way, I kind of enjoy it. Okay, I like the back and forth. Once people kind of have an idea of who you are, and people are just leery of people in general. And fans are so paranoid that everybody's out to get them. But I try to have some fun with it online. And you know, this thing yesterday, putting this out, and we'll put some more on it today. This is exactly the reason. It's to waste some time in the summer, another month or so here before we get to practices, and then take up some time.
Yeah, I mean, media members are brands in 2017. It's just kind of the way it works. It is what it is. I didn't really get you on today to talk about the bracket. We're going to talk some high school football. But what do you think? I mean, I'm interested in the psychology behind this because while you just said, I think, best follow or whatever as far as voting for the different media members, it's going to be a lot of just whomever they like best in general, not really about their work or their Twitter account or anything else, and probably the opposing fan bases voting for whoever they least hate in the equation. I think the opposing fan bases of the teams that people actually cover are going to move this thing one way or the other.
Oh, 100%. That's like somebody like Hugh Kellerberger. Okay, he has the largest following in the state right now of any person in the print media. And as soon as I put him out there, state fans are coming out of the woodwork just because they can't stand Hugh. Because obviously he's against them. I mean, he's in 100% in cahoots with Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss. That's just how they view it. They're just out here to mess with him.
That's funny.
And it's 100% not a reflection of the job that anybody does on any level whatsoever. But and I'll tell you this too. This is kind of funny. Every poll I put out last night on Twitter, I think state is leading every one of them because this NCAA effect, and I don't know what you guys are dealing with on your board. You have so few Ole Miss people right now that are engaged on Twitter or radio or anything for that matter, because they just want all this stuff to be over with, and vice versa. You have state people coming out of the woodwork, maybe not as much lately with some of this recent events. And I don't want to get into all that, but they're everywhere. So they're leading every poll I put out, and it's not even close. But it's just, look, it's just I've had some fun with it, and really there's not much more to it than that.
I mean, over the course of however long I've been doing this, I guess a decade now, I just think state has a higher percentage of people that are active on social media for whatever reason, and I could talk about it for an hour. I've got some theories, but
all right, I want to hear them.
Well, I think that
yeah, that's kind of what this is for. All right. I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, fill me in.
I don't know. It's
you're
just,
more in touch with this than I am.
I don't know. I just think they're more active on Twitter. I think that there are less. I think there are less state people as engaged from a team site standpoint than Ole Miss people. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe Gene and those guys would disagree with me, but I just think that there are more people that do the pay team site model for Ole Miss than Mississippi State. So I think state is more active on maybe like, you know, Clarion Ledger blogs when they had them on social media. I think they have a more spirited group that is more anti-Ole Miss, at least publicly, than Ole Miss people. I just think there's a lot of things there. It's not about socioeconomics or anything like that. I just think that when those things come about, that's the way it kind of works. And once a fan base trends in that direction, everybody kind of follows suit because you go where all the interaction is, you go where the engagement is, and they've got, you know, some pretty large message boards from a non connected to a team site or to a brand with Elite Dogs, with Six Pack, and those guys. I just think that the way that fan base has decided to interact from an internet standpoint is more social media and free content based.
Well, let me give you a theory.
Okay.
Just from what I've seen the last year, okay, and I've befriended some of these guys now, especially the state guys that have been all on me. I've befriended a lot of these people. Okay, and even when we're fighting on Twitter, sometimes we might be direct messaging, you know, behind the scenes here. And I've asked these guys this question too. Has it always been like this for them, where state is this present online and social media and Ole Miss people aren't? And they tell me it's not the case. Okay, they tell me 2 to 3 years ago when Ole Miss was blowing and going and they were dominating the series there for a couple years and trending up, that state fans were in short supply. And Ole Miss ones and those, not, I don't want to call them troll accounts, I mean, because a lot of them are, but not all of them are, that the Ole Miss ones were everywhere and the state ones weren't, and now it's switched around. But I can tell you this, somewhere along the way, okay, you had a group of state guys who decided they were going to win the social media war and the online war, because the numbers are about the same, the number of people who are purchasing memberships to these different sites. Whether it's you guys or Chuck or David, or for them, whether it's Steve or Paul, it's close. Those numbers, I think, are relatively close.
I mean, state's going to be at a disadvantage there from the standpoint of just the rival sites. Dead. They've only, you know.
Yeah,
they're a site
but
down.
These people online, Chase, like the quote unquote the mafia guys, they decided they were going to win that social media war. And you know, the sad thing is, they probably have some influence in the grand scheme of things here, even though probably not as much as they think. But in terms of recruiting and adding players on Twitter and all those things, they, I think, made a conscious decision they were going to be present and get a kick out of it and enjoy doing it. And look, there's no doubt right now they're everywhere.
Well, they are certainly everywhere. I'm not a big blocker. I interact with a good many of them myself. Neil's more of a blocker than I am. He's kind of Dikembe out there from a swatting standpoint.
Well, and people make fun of me about blocking, but here's the way I look at Twitter, really, is if you come at me with something that I know is blatantly false, I'll tell you it's false. And then if you keep coming at me about it, you've made up your mind. And I go to Twitter, honestly, for the same reason that a lot of them go to Twitter. I go to Twitter to follow people that I'm friends with, that I consider contemporaries. I go to Twitter to keep up with the Cubs. I go to Twitter to keep up with the Thunder and the NBA. I don't go to Twitter to fight about Ole Miss and Mississippi State. I mean, I don't care. So why would I? And so when you engage me on that on a personal level, and I tell you, hey man, it doesn't matter to me, and you keep going, I'm either going to mute you. I've learned to mute more of them than I block.
See, the mute button is better because you're not getting it, but then they think they still are interacting with you. So they just keep coming at you, and they don't realize that you're not seeing everything that they're saying. So
I've muted hundreds of people.
You're effectively wasting their time, and it costs you not 1 second.
Yeah.
Yeah, mute is perfect. And look, I can tell you from – it's kind of like this. These guys, and I think you guys would associate with this, you know, when you were younger and maybe we didn't have social media, you know, and you're in college or high school or whatever, and you go to a professional game, and it's almost like heckling these pro athletes, okay? And you get a rise out of it whenever they acknowledge your existence, okay? And for today, you guys, I mean, you're the stars of this thing playing out. I mean, all the big media members, all of the fans out there, I mean, you're the targets now. And it's almost like this huge heckling game where they have fun with it. Look, I'll give an example. I had one guy, I'm not going to give out his name, on Twitter. I'm a huge state fan, a hashtag mafia guy. Just killed me for months. Okay, he just wore me out. And then one day accidentally tweeted me from his real account with his real name. And it was one of my best friends.
Really?
And I've called. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me! You got to be kidding. He thought it was the funniest thing ever. had just been wearing me out. It was one of my buddies.
That's bizarre. See, I'm not making fun of I'm not making fun of your friend here, but I mean, my first comment to him would have been, "So you spent your time on this?"
He did, and he said, "Look, don't judge me, man. I got a lot of free time on my hands. I was just playing around."
Yeah, I would judge him. I would say, I would totally judge him. I'd judge the hell out of him. I mean,
killed me. He just killed me.
It's
for months.
Bizarre. What I love is the people that come at you. This our conversation's gone off the rails, which probably means it'll be a really good one. What I love is the people that come at you with, "Man, if I ever see you in public, I'm gonna whatever." And I'm always like, "Well, I'm pretty easy to find. I'm in the same carpool line every day at about 150. If you want to come," and it's always like you realize at that point, some of the people, it's they have an impression of you in their mind that is really stereotypical and it's cliche, and that's what they want you to be. And when they find out you're really nothing like that, I think it's a letdown.
So we take a break in the interview. Let me tell you about Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting and understands your market. Also the leader in condo financing in Oxford. Ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide. It does it with all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a five-minute wait. OUB is also home to the Kasasa cash checking account. With Kasasa, OUB will pay you 2.5% interest on your balance up to $50,000, refund ATM fees nationwide. It also features free online bill pay and the mobile check deposit using the app. Run your CDs right now at OUB, 1.75% APY. The three-year triple option CD is 2.01% APY. And with that, you can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if their three-year CD rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast is also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. Michael's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Look up his site. It's gotland.com. That's got-land.com. You can read his recent testimonials. You can check out his track record and look at the properties online that he has listed. Here's the deal. The land market's very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he'll tell you he doesn't deserve it. There's three ways to get in contact with him. Call his cell, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. Now back to the show. That's why I think, I'll be honest, it's why I think that the Yancey Porter Steve Robertson thing back and forth on Twitter is so appealing to so many people, because that is the way that the hardcore fan envisions a press box, for example. Chase and I have always talked about, if fans are like, "Man, I wish I could sit in a press box during that game," I'm like, you'd be bored out of your mind. I mean,
right.
You know, when Steve and Yancey go at each other with something that is so clearly beyond personal to both of them, it means more to them than damn near anything in their lives. That is, God, that fires them up, because they want that to be that way. If they knew the truth, for example, about Hugh Kellenberger and his personal feelings about Ole Miss and Mississippi State, it would be a letdown. They would be disappointed that he was that, from a personal standpoint, dispassionate about it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, most of these people, I think are harmless. And I try to tell these guys, I mean, I'm in a unique situation that I get to talk to you guys with the different schools. And I try not to pick a side. And I'm great with everybody. Like, they seem normal, a lot of common sense, easy conversations. I genuinely like everybody, except maybe one or two. I can only tell you there may be one or two I've ever had any kind of run-in with.
Who do you
get
not
online
like?
No, I'm keeping that to myself.
Nobody's listening, really, Chris. We're just talking, so
and
go
it's
ahead.
Really only one. Oh, and look, Chase, that's just me trying to be nice. It's not one or two. It's only one. Okay, I've only had a run-in with one guy.
All right.
If I told you, it wouldn't shock you.
Give me a hint. What does his name rhyme with?
But everybody's fine, and then I see him on Twitter, and it's almost like a completely different persona, like an entertainment version. It's just they're completely different when they're dealing with fans. And I don't want to tell fans they're being duped, but this fight that they think is going on, 90% of the time it's not going on. It's just made for TV stuff for the most part. Now, there are a very small percentage of fans out there that I'll meet, and I'm sure you guys meet. There are a few of them that are certifiable. Okay, you can tell the ones that are just heckling and are just, they're just doing the BS thing just to have fun with it. They don't really believe it, but occasionally you'll run into somebody who's tweeting something and you realize, oh, you really believe that. And those are the ones I'll stay away from.
Yeah, it's a version of professional wrestling is what it is. It's why they like. I mean, they like any interaction that is. It is all any bit of conflict. It's like they love when I've told the story about the 2007 Egg Bowl. Gene Swindle is running down the sidelines with Derek Pegues when he runs the kick back for the touchdown, and he runs into me. Like, we literally hit each other because I'm standing there on about the 10-yard line, and G's been at a full sprint and just bam. And said, like, somebody tweeted me last night and said, yeah, if you get Gene in the in this bracket, you can get him back for that thing. Yeah. 2007. I was like, that's 10 years ago, and you guys remember that. Like, I don't know that I've spoken to Gene since then. Not really in a bad way. I just don't run into him.
Yeah.
He doesn't come to Oxford because he's scared for his life, I hear. So, I mean, you know, it's
– so stupid.
I don't know. Anyway. Well – Chris, I actually called you to talk high school football today, so we've had a much better conversation than that, but we'll get to it for a second. We got some new coaches, got some different things. I'll be honest, we've turned recruiting over to Russell Johnson, who's been handling that for us. I am not very plugged in right now, so from someone who is fairly plugged in, what's the storylines? What are you kind of looking forward to just from an entertainment level with high school football in the state of Mississippi this year?
From like an actual on the field perspective,
yeah, whatever.
Recruiting,
just oh no, on the field team.
Well, it's going to be a different year. Very different teams at the top. For instance, like you'll have a team that we'll consider for number one in the state will be a team like Pearl. They made it to the state championship last year. They return a ton of players, almost all of their skill players, and several offensive linemen. That's not South Panola. I mean, and that's not Madison Central, and it's not Meridian. It's just different. A team like Tupelo, very similar. Tupelo had a really good year last year, and they return almost all of their offensive players. Now, you will have some teams at the top of this thing, if we're just talking top 10, that are more your blue blood high school teams. You know, West Point should be really good with Marcus Murphy coming back. I do think South Panola will be good, but it's just not like the team that we watched 5 to 10 years ago. We'll see what happens with their coaching turnover there and Lance heading out the door. But you know, they'll be good. They're not like they were. Noxubee County, same thing. Meridian, I mean, they'll be in there. There's not a dominant team anymore in the state that just runs away from everybody. Central Mississippi will be pretty good. You know, Brandon's going to have a good team. Madison Central will be pretty good. But in terms of just one team running away with this thing, those days, at least from what I've seen, they've passed. And you've got 10 to 15 of these 6A teams now in communities that have invested big money. They could be good. And I think that's a good thing overall for real high school football, not just the recruiting part of it.
Oh, it's great for Mississippi. Get some new teams, get a lot of teams, get some parity at the top and where it's not just average teams, but you have a lot of good teams. I mean, no, I think that makes it more interesting. I mean, you obviously like the dynasty stuff from a standpoint, but as far as an entertainment value, give me 8 to 10, 12 teams that can win a state title. Let me cover that, watch that all year.
Yeah, and I'm sure Ole Miss would like South Panola to be South Panola again,
yeah.
So they'll start feeding some players over there like they used to. And they do have a couple of younger classes coming up that should be pretty good. Just that it's still not like it was. But you'll see a team like Pearl or teams like Brandon or, I tell you, another team that could be pretty good this year that, it's not always the case. Warren Central, they've been pretty good, but they might have a chance this year to get back at least closer to where they were back in the 80s, 90s when they were winning some championships. I mean, they're coming back. Pedal is going to be good again. They'll be a team that's near the top of this thing. If I was going to give you like one really off the beaten path that has a chance to be pretty good and was not last year, if you went down to 5A, Brookhaven was, I would say they were average last year. But suddenly this year they have, three potential SEC football players on that roster. I still don't know if they have a quarterback down there, but Trace Clopton, the head coach, Tommy Clopton's kid, I know that Ole Miss is looking at right now. He's there. Jeffrey Johnson, big defensive lineman. The DB's name, I forget his name right now. I can't remember his name. But they could have three SEC kids down there, and if they get any kind of a quarterback under center, they could be pretty good.
Stanislaus good again?
Yeah, they'll be good. They won't be as good as they've been. They're going to take a step back this year. I'd be shocked if they're like they've been under with Miles Brennan there. I don't know about transfers because usually they bring some kids in, and when you think they're going to take a step back, they're better than you thought. But right now, if you went down that low and you're in 4A, Knoxville County every year, they dominate the thing. Clarksdale has a chance to be really good with Henry Johnson taking that thing over 3 or 4 years ago after coming over from West Bolivar. They should be pretty good. And, Louisville. Louisville has a chance to be really good this year. But I don't think Stanislaus will be like they've been.
They've had an increase in enrollment again. I'm just kind of curious from a local standpoint. Obviously, Chris Cutcliffe is the head coach. Is there any, I guess, thought around the state about Oxford and what they potentially are, going to have or dealing with as they start their new era?
Yeah, they have a lot of difference makers. Okay, they have some kids coming up that are going to be studs in the younger classes, from what I understand. But they lost a lot of seniors, and anytime you lose that many seniors in the preseason, at least, people are going to vote you down, at least to some extent. But they've gotten to a point now, even with the coaching change and Coach Hill stepping aside, they've gotten to the point now that program just adds players. I mean, it's not South Panola, but on a different level, when they have kids that walk out the door, for the most part, they're putting kids back in there. And other than West Point has a chance to be better than everybody else. I mean, it's not a sure thing, but they have a couple of stud players, mainly Marcus Murphy, and they have a lot of athletic depth. I mean, they have athletes all over the place over in that part of the state. They have a chance to be better than everybody else. But if they're not, then you'll bring into play 7, 8, 9 different 5A teams that could do something, and Oxford will certainly be there again.
Over the last however many years that you've been covering this, and maybe this is a too broad of a question, are you seeing any trends or any movement in just how the game is played? I mean, is there offensive systems becoming more prevalent in Mississippi? Is there anything schematic? Is there just anything over a period where you could call kind of a trend in a different direction of what maybe is the stereotypical thing for Mississippi high school football?
Well, the main thing that I witness every year, now it's been 7 or 8 years of doing this, is how quickly the stuff on the college level trickles down to high school. And that is especially true in-state, where what Ole Miss is doing and what Mississippi State's doing, you start seeing that stuff at different high schools. So those offenses that Dan Mullen and Hugh Freeze are running, you do see that a lot. I mean, it's not strictly from them, but I have seen a changing in the way offense is played. Now, you have some coaches that they still want to line up, a fullback, a couple of tailbacks, and they're going to run the ball 90% of the time, and they just have a hard time letting go of that. Physicality, and we're just going to be tougher than you, and we're going to play hard, that mentality. But you do see a lot more wide-open football, especially on the offensive side. That's been different. But the main difference for me, it's really not even on the field in terms of the X's and O's, but these high school programs are run off the field a lot more like college programs, really? Especially these larger ones, the 6A, 5A schools, a school like Brandon that just built a new stadium out here. Tyler Peterson's done a heck of a job with them. Their booster club, they modeled their booster club there when Brad Peterson was there before Tyler, after what they were doing at Madison Central with Bobby Hall. And they raised a ton of money, and that's not exclusive to there. Tupelo does the same thing. The way that these programs are running themselves now off the field has been a major change from what I've witnessed.
Just a little quick aside there. You know, Oxford moved to 6A this year.
Okay, my bad. I'm looking at rankings here. So you've got,
yeah, no, you're fine.
I'm wondering why they're not in my top five. So that's the main reason. I'm looking at – we're right now, if I put it out, at Pearl, Tupelo, South Nola, Meridian, and Pell. So I wouldn't expect Oxford to
– Yeah.
Let me expect them to do this. Pearl 2 years ago or 3 years ago when they made the jump to 6A, they had 1 year where they just weren't very good. And then – the next year got a little better, and then, you know, last year they find themselves in the state championship game. You know, Oxford's going to be a similar situation.
All right, what are they looking at this year? Let's just go through this real quick. District schedule for them, I've got it up. South Haven, South Panola, DeSoto Central, Horn Lake, Columbus, Hernando, Tupelo. Is that a playoff team?
That's Oxford's schedule?
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, like I said, when Pearl went up, they lost a lot of close ball games. I would expect Oxford's going to be something similar. It's just different. I mean, the numbers are different when you're going up a team like – even like – let me use Madison Central as an example. You know, that's not a team that's – I don't have them in the top five right now. I just gave you the five that I have. Okay. If it's early, it's Pearl, Tupelo, South Panola, Meridian, Pedal. But when you play a team like that, they just have more players than you have. And those bodies start coming into play. I mean, I've seen it with all these teams that make that move up. And I'm glad you corrected me on that. I forgot all about Oxford moving up. You see it every year. When you make that move up one classification, whether it's 3-4 or 4-5 or 5-6, the numbers almost always catch up with these teams. And it takes a few years for them to adjust to it. I think Oxford will probably do that just like Pearl's done with John Perry. But it's just the schedule kills you every week. You don't get many breaks. Certainly not as many as you did when you were in 5A or you were in 4A. It just beat you down.
Yeah, and 6A is such the jump because there's such a discrepancy on the number of students. I mean, you're going to have division games where, take Tupelo, for instance, they're going to have 1,000 more kids to choose from than you. I mean, there is a huge gap, and I don't know the way to fix it. We don't have time to go into that. But when you just take the top 32 biggest schools or whatever it is, and it's not like Mississippi needs 9 different classifications or something, but it does create these enormous gaps from a just boys-eligible standpoint.
Well, you know, another team that did this, maybe a better example than Pearl, Starkville made this jump from 5-6.
Yeah.
And Starkville either won it 1 year or they got to the championship game in 5A. And then they made the move up, and they weren't good right out of the gate. I mean, it took a little while. There was a transition period for them. And I would think that's probably a better example to Oxford, just because you have a program moving up that's been dominant on a 5A level. There's going to be an acclimation period there.
One more quick break in the show to tell you this part of the interview brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. Whether you need basic things like landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, turf, maintenance, or more, they can help you out when you sign that annual contract. And you mentioned the podcast, First Cut, also on them. Also, they are now partners with Skeeter Beaters. Let them mosquito spray your yard. Take care of that, whether it be for a cookout, for a family get-together, a game at a local park, or just because you'd like to have a little more security from those mosquitoes around your property. Again, either way, give them a call, 662-607-7773 or mastercutslawn.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for air conditioning repair, and you can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. Now back to the show.
You mentioned Johnny Hill and Bobby Hall, two couple, Hall of Fame guys from this past week. Bobby had a pretty good speech. He was funny, as always.
Seven. How about the line about the miniskirt?
That was great, wasn't it?
And if you talk to Bobby off the record, he, I mean, I know some coaches don't like him.
Yeah.
Because he's very brash, and he tells exactly what he thinks, and he's incredibly confident about everything that he does. But he's been so good for high school football here. He brings attention to it. I think he's genuine. Like, what you see with that dude is what you get. And look, and his speech is the perfect example. Like, there's no PC part of it. No, it doesn't have to be appropriate or inappropriate. He doesn't really care. He just, he is who he is, and that's been really good for football here in our state.
Yeah, he thanked the good parents, just the good ones, for their
just the good ones. That's Bobby, man. If you get to know him off the field, that's exactly who he is.
Yeah, he's one of the funniest human beings you'll ever meet. I mean, he's wonderful to talk to. He'll have you cracking up. So I don't know.
So who's going to win this ballot, this bracket of yours?
Well, you have to go to the state first. Okay, so
I mean, Steve is the prohibitive favorite, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Steve has such a loyal following right now. Look, people will go to Matt for Steve. And, you know, I know Steve. Steve's been a friend, and I disagree with a lot of stuff he's doing right now. And, look, I'm not saying anything I wouldn't tell him. We've had these arguments.
What do you disagree with what he's doing specifically?
I don't like media being negative against each other, including the rivalry. Like, if Hugh Kellenberger write something, I have confidence in Hugh that whether people agree with it or not, I think he's doing his job. Or if that's David Brandt doing that. David is writing something out of an obligation to be a journalist. When you start bringing some of these other things into play, like I had Steve on this week and I questioned him, you know, the motivations to doing it. And he even admitted, he said, well, he couldn't say that that's not part of it. That's a really dangerous thing whenever you're allowing the rivalry to be part of this. And you're going negative against other people. People view what you say as gospel, and I just think that's a dangerous thing. If that flips around and there's Ole Miss people doing that to State, I won't like it either.
You think he's motivated by the rivalry, or you think he's motivated by the fact that this has grown his brand?
Probably a little of both. You know, I don't think there's any doubt that this has created a massive following for him. And look, I'm sure it's made him money. And now you're talking about a book deal. I'm sure he'll make money with that. And look, I'm not against anybody using their platform to financially benefit themselves. Okay, I get that. But at the same time, I have to call it what I think it is. You know, I deal with a lot of things that go out. And look, and I need to preface this by saying this. I deal with a lot of fans that tweet things at me that I'm assuming they get from a message board. Maybe it's Steve, but I'm not reading these boards all the time. So I don't know if there's insinuations that he's putting out or Paul or anybody else for that matter. I just know I've dealt with literally probably, I bet there's been 30, 40 different players who are going to be part of this investigation. And 9 times out of 10, it's not truthful. But those fans take a lot of that as gospel or more to the point, the narrative out there that Ole Miss is in such huge trouble because they're just doing things that just nobody in the college football world is willing to do. And when narratives like that start, I get in a lot of trouble with it because I just know those things aren't true. When you actually have sources and you meet people in this world of the recruiting business and you know what happens, I just know those things aren't true. They're in big trouble. That's a fact. But it's not because they're doing stuff other people aren't doing. But some of these fans, they take that narrative that the media people are delivering them and they just soak up every word of it. And then people like me have to deal with it. I don't like that part of it.
What do you think this fall is going to be like as this story unfolds? I mean, if it – and again, I know to make that prediction fully, you have to know, well, Neil, what's going to unfold, big boy? Assuming it's bad and that Lewis's testimony or his interviews are the primary reason for it being bad, what do you think that the atmosphere is like in the state?
You know, I don't know. Because we've been in, God, this is sad to say, Neil, we've been in this phase of college football in our state for so long, I can barely remember what it was like not to talk about the NCAA. I mean, this has been a couple of years.
5 years.
And hardcore for at least over a year, maybe a year and a half, when it's just constant conversation. I can't even remember what it was like before we did this. But what do I think will happen? I mean, I don't know. I'm anxious to see what happens with Ole Miss fans. You know, I'm anxious to get to the end of it so that their fans will actually come back out and participate again, partially for selfish reasons, you know, for business part of this, but also, you know, for them, because I do have a lot of Ole Miss family. And, yeah, you've probably heard some of this. I hear more from my family and friends that are Ole Miss fans. You know, like, life's too short to be worried about this. You know, family is more important. Got to keep this in perspective. It's almost sad. They've been beaten down so much about this stuff. You know, I'm anxious for them to get to the other end of it. But in terms of what the outcome's going to be, you know, the hard part for me, Neil, is, and look, you two, you disagree with me if you need to. We're almost to a point of this now in the final stages where I wonder about backdoor dealings and lawyers talking to each other and threats being made under the table about, hey, I'm going to put this out on you, or we're going to put this out on you because you have lawsuits flying around, and there's going to be more of these things coming out. Threats, the Rebel Rags lawsuit, it might not have come from Ole Miss, but that's a direct threat to the NCAA. You know, you keep pushing this thing, what we view unfairly, you know, we're going to get an investigator on the stand one day, and we're going to talk about how you went about this. I mean, there's no way to predict that sort of stuff. I'll say this, unless something monumental comes up, some bit of news that is really damaging for how the NCAA has investigated Ole Miss, and I do not think that's out there yet. Maybe it comes out, but unless that happens, I think Ole Miss is in trouble.
Here's the problem.
If they get hit, I mean, if they get hit as hard as what I believe the NCAA wants to hit them, they're going to be in trouble.
The problem that Ole Miss has, in my opinion, with the whole investigators' behavior deal is, let's get real, at all, everything that I've heard about this investigator and the stuff that he did has to do with Dante Moncrief. And Dante Moncrief's name's not in the NOA. So while it makes him look like a scumbag, it's never really going to be an issue in front of the committee, because the committee is only going to really talk about and pay attention to the stuff that is in the NOA. And Moncrief's not in the NOA.
No, I agree. And this is where I get in trouble a little bit, because if you go down that road to talk about an investigator potentially doing his job in a way that I might consider to be unethical, it almost looks like I'm giving Ole Miss a pass for things that I know that they've done. Okay, and I don't want to do that on any level, because Ole Miss is deserving of some punishment here. Okay? I mean, they got in trouble doing things while they were being investigated. Okay,
well, they turned most of it in themselves. So, I mean, that's an admission itself.
But in terms of, that's why they put a bowl ban as a self-imposed penalty here. But they still deserve to be treated fairly here. And I do think that an investigator went overboard in some of this. I think here at the very end that he saw an opportunity to really hammer them on things that were not directly involved to what he thought Ole Miss was doing, almost like the Al Capone thing where you get them on tax evasion. He just wants to hammer them for what he thinks they're doing, and he used kind of a side part of this to just hammer it home. I do not think that's fair. And the Dante Moncrief thing he mentioned, I haven't even talked about that on the air. I've known about that for a while. I think that eventually will come out. Why that's not part of this, which would not be a good look for that particular investigator, I think at some point that does come out. Now, I don't know how the Committee on Infractions is going to process that kind of information that the investigator or the NCAA did not include in this. And there's several of those type things, things that they didn't put in there for a reason, because they didn't do a really good job with it. They did some things they probably shouldn't have done. I just don't know if the committee looks at that stuff and cares. And quite honestly, with Terry Warren and Rebel Rags and some of these other boosters that you might see get involved, I think they're uncomfortable that the committee won't care. And they're trying to take some things into their own hands before they get to that point. I don't know if that's a good strategy or not. I have no idea to know if that works or not. But at the same time, I can't blame them if they feel like they've been treated unfairly, in a sense. Not that Ole Miss hasn't done plenty to be deserving of punishment, but they haven't been treated like they should have.
It's another interesting part of that thing, too, is, you know, Terry and the Rebel Rags lawsuit, that wasn't something that Ole Miss was behind or call it in agreement with or anything. Yeah, I mean, if anything, they were negative toward that. So it's
from what I've heard off the record, and look, you get into rumor stuff here, but these not like rumors you read on message boards or stuff that you're told from people. The Ole Miss lawyer and his lawyer had conversations about this and didn't go well. Okay,
yeah,
this was not Ole Miss's course of action, but at the same time.
No, because Ole Miss is concerned, I would think, and I've heard this. I haven't had many conversations really with Ole Miss people about it because they're pretty buttoned up. But I would think they're concerned that
right. If
one of the things that you want to go in there and say is that, hey, we have cooperated, we have not fought back at times when we could have fought back. I think there's concern that the NCAA would say, look at all of these lawsuits. You can't keep your own boosters under control. We've got all these summons and subpoenas and whatnot. You're not cooperating. You're using using a third party to fight.
And you know what, Neil? And I hope fans get this. The ones I know they're mad at the administration, Ole Miss people are, because they don't feel like they fought it. But I hope by now they're educated enough on this to understand. If you read through the manual, Ole Miss has to get this thing mitigated at least one level. Okay, they absolutely have to somehow get it mitigated from an overall perspective. From aggravated to standard.
Right.
Because if they don't, I mean, just use one example that really makes the point. If it's standard, I mean, the max they can be hit on scholarships is, I think, 22. Okay. If it's considered aggravating, that number goes up to 44. Okay. It's a colossal jump in terms of what they possibly could be facing. And the only mitigating factors that they have going for them would be either A, they went so far above and beyond to cooperate that they did consider that a mitigating factor, the committee did, which is possible. Or B, a mitigating factor would be that the investigators, or investigator period, did something he shouldn't have been doing. Outside of that, they're not going to get this mitigated. And if they do not get it mitigated, at least to a standard level, they are facing penalties that would be substantially higher than what they're trying to self-impose.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. Well, Chris, we kept you much longer than I asked you for, but I do appreciate it. Your show 12 to 2, 105.9. What are you talking about today?
Yeah, well, I'll do this bracket stuff. I tell you what, this is a serious conversation. And look, I'm sorry I'm mixed up on the Oxford thing for y'all. I've got so many things in my head right now with these. There's 300 high schools out there.
I'm applauding you right now.
Six A was done. We did that a month ago. Right now I'm in 1A. So it's just off my brain a little bit. But a serious topic, and Neil, you might appreciate this. When we put this bracket together, I had this conversation with a media guy yesterday, and it didn't even dawn on me until after I talked to him. There is not one female in there. Not one. And I had some on these rankings. I would literally list, like, the print people, and I had listed, like, 30. And it would rank them straight according to Twitter following, because I'm trying to get my butt out of trouble so people don't think I'm a ranking friend of mine. And some females and some women that were on there got bumped off. But there literally is not a woman in this bracket anywhere, which that's an actual serious thing that we don't have enough females or women involved in this industry in our state. I think that's a bad thing. I'll talk about that some on our show today.
I'm curious because I used to do what you're doing now. I did a 3-hour radio show in Mobile every day for 6 years. And I went through summers, and I don't know that I ever completely figured it out. We would go off the grid in the summer, and it would so infuriate the people that we worked for until they saw our ratings, and they'd say, well, never mind. For example, we got Dustin Diamond on once. Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Yes. Yes.
Had Dustin Diamond on, and he took questions on the air. It was fantastic. All that we agreed to do was that we would let him do his little thing for the house he was trying to build or something. It was some weird. I mean, dude was off the. But I had all sorts of questions about Tiffany Amber Thiessen and is Elizabeth Williams, is that her name?
Berkeley.
Elizabeth Berkeley.
Yeah, Elizabeth Berkeley.
Yeah, I had questions that I wanted answers to, and he was pretty forthright with those answers, and so it was good. Anyway, regardless. So what do you talk about right now? Because you can't. you can't break down the Ole Miss season and the Mississippi State season and stuff like that. Oh, there comes a point where, from a radio standpoint, it's diminishing returns. What besides that can you get into that gets any radio traction? I mean, can you talk about the Major League Baseball All-Star races? Can you talk about NBA free agency? What do you do out that's off the grid a little bit that gets traction this time of year?
Well, it's not going to get much better than Kelly Kapowski, okay? So, like, you hit a home run there, getting inside with Kelly Kapowski and that whole group.
So hot.
Jesse.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this. I treat it like this, Neil. I like sports. I'm not one of these dudes that can just sit and talk at 24/7. I like it, but I like the things that are behind it. You know, I like the behind-the-scenes stories, the nonsense parts of it, not just breaking down who has the better linebacker group. So I treat it kind of like I'm in a couple of text messages with five or six really close friends where you can be honest with each other. And, you know, we're texting nonsense to each other 24/7. I treat it kind of like that. And the topics that come up there just between guys and dudes like talking about, I'll treat it a lot like that. Give you an example. You know, I haven't brought on Screech, but Monday or Tuesday, the best show we'll have all summer, maybe the best show we've ever done. And I can't remember how the topic came up. But somehow it was women versus men. It was Serena Williams and John McEnroe, that whole thing that happened.
Yeah.
And some guy called in, and for like 2 minutes, he railed on the fact that even the thought that a woman could be better at something than a man bothered him. And he just railed for 2 minutes, daring anybody to call the show and come up with one thing women can do better than men. Okay, but that's like a lightning rod. And, of course, then I'm getting some serious calls, but I'm getting a whole lot of texts and tweets from people saying that women make sandwiches better. Or, it's just nonsense stuff, okay? And I'm sticking up for women here, but I did 2 hours on just naming things that women do better with men, the funniest show we've probably done in a year doing this, and it was nothing about sports.
Yeah, no, that's the recipe. That's the way to get this done. Well,
but look, I came away with it this, knowing this, John McEnroe probably didn't do anything wrong in making honest comments about Serena Williams, but all the dudes that are calling my show and being chauvinistic, they're the reason that John McEnroe is getting a bunch of creeps, because we have some issues here.
There's no doubt about that. Well, Chris, thanks for, again, an extended amount of time, and we'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Always good to talk to you. Y'all take care.
Our thanks to Chris Books for joining us on the Oxford Exxon podcast. He joined us via the Rebel Locker Room hotline, the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear. Football season getting closer, and you can get all your gear that you want for the season at the Rebel Locker Room. All the styles, all the colors, men, women, children, it's all there. Ole Miss season tickets available, OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. Basketball season tickets are actually available now, as well as football tickets. So all your ticket needs, all your gear needs at the Rebel Locker Room. Speaking of football season getting closer, tailgating season not too far away either. It won't be long before people are in the Grove for Ole Miss and South Alabama. You want 7 South Tailgating to make this easier for you, and they will. 7 South is equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can service any of your tailgating needs. SEC only, full season packages, rental packages, that's all available at 7 South. They offer complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. They'll set you up in the Grove, the Circle, or on the outskirts of campus, wherever you desire. Visit their site today. 7 South typically sells out for every game, so visit today, secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site is 7SouthTailgating.com, or you can reach them at 662-321-1682. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent, been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. You can filter through. The results are updated daily, and then you can send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, it's the place to go. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. It's located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. Complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Gene and Sandy, great friends of this site, of this podcast, they'll take terrific care of you there at Grenada Nissan.
Thoughts and prayers with the family of Rick Caron, former Ole Miss baseball player, died at 45 yesterday.
What happened?
Pancreatic cancer, long battle with that. Played in the early 90s under Don Kessinger. I've heard a lot of good stories about Rick from DeLucci, DK, and others. Incredibly well-liked. Guy had a career on maybe the Sportsman Channel or the Outdoor Channel as well after his playing career. So thoughts with those. He's been it's been a long battle for a while. So yesterday he passed away at the age of 45 years old. No good way to transition out of that as
no.
We continue. Thanks to Chris for a lot of time. Interesting stuff there, really. Also on a whole different level, most of these guys are going to be okay, but thoughts with a lot of media people as Fox Sports has removed their entire writing staff for FoxSports.com. I saw, it was either Jim Miller or Richard Deese yesterday, said that a source told him in the 3 days after the change, where now FoxSports.com, strictly a platform to promote its video and digital offerings, impressions, page views down 60%. I could have told him nobody wants to watch videos. However, because no one understands how to sell advertising at a mass market level.
When you say no one understands, you mean no one in journalism understands.
Yeah, everybody keeps trying to sell ads in bulk. They keep trying to sell ads in front of videos. They keep trying to do different things. And they believe that because people want content to some degree, they can put ads in front of videos. They will get them to watch the ad and it creates some type of recognition.
The ad just makes them mad.
Yeah, the ad makes them mad. And I'll be honest, I mean, it plays into what we do a little bit. We've got a lot of sponsors of the show. We use almost every one of them, maybe every one of them. When Neil talks about Grenada Nissan, he's had Grenada Nissan vehicles. We've known Corey a long time. Ben Craddock's one of the guys that maybe outside my family I care about more than almost anybody in this world.
Yes.
You know, you've used Comer Heating and Air.
Yes.
Master Cuts, I use them right now. Jason Lowe does my mortgage.
Mine too.
It's people that we vouch for. It's people that we appreciate. It's things that we can give personal opinions on. That's how things resonate from an advertising standpoint. It's trusting the person that's talking to you. Look, you guys listen to us after this long. We've been daily for 5 years maybe at this point, something along those lines. I don't know how many shows we've done, 1,500 or so. And you continue to listen. Maybe you're entertained. Maybe you're just trying to learn something. But for the most part, we've got to be fairly likable to you, or you wouldn't spend 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes of your day with us every single day. So when we tell you something, it's kind of like yesterday. I told Neil, a guy tweeted at me, and he goes, "Hey, well, who's that heating and air guy?"
Yeah.
And you hear about Comer, and you don't think about it till you actually need him. And then suddenly,
yeah,
when your air goes out,
you
go,
don't get
well,
up in the morning and go, well, you know, where would I go today to buy an air conditioner?
Yeah, but when your air goes out, you go, "Hey, I've been hearing about that dude, Jason Neil. We're talking about him," and it's. That's the deal. That's the problem with these mass market mid-roll type ads where everybody's talking about stamps.com, everybody's talking about TrueCar. It's just stuff. There's no engagement, there's no integration to it. And I mean, it's going to be I'm going to predict it now. Fox Sports, this is going to fail.
Yes.
At some point, all this aggregation, somebody's going to have to produce the shit that gets aggregated. Sorry, excuse my language.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I know. But, I mean, seriously, at some point, no, there's nothing to aggregate if there's no original writing.
I've had Mark Himes, one of my really good friends in Mobile.
He is, yeah.
Has a radio show. Ironically, got into radio because I talked the people at WNSP into letting him come guest host.
Okay.
He's in aggregating now. And I know that you can't. What do? You're going to say out loud, "Hey, aggregating's bad"? But when people stop writing, who are you going to aggregate? What are you going to aggregate? You've tried to turn me on repeatedly to Clay Travis, and today I finally.
And that's a hot button thing. I get a lot of people hate him.
I don't hate him.
I get it.
I don't hate him. Why would I hate somebody who's? No, if anything, I admire him. I read his mailbag, and it's kind of like, you know, it
there's some levity. It's funny enough.
And but a lot of people, oh boy, you can't do that. Why not? Why can't you talk about? Chris was exactly right, and it's why my radio show worked in Mobile. It worked in Mobile for one reason. I went in and I said, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a show where every day, and this is what this show's turned into, where every day we talk about, we pretend that we're sitting at a sports bar, mm-hmm. us and some buddies. And you're sitting at a sports bar and you order a beer, you order a drink, whatever. When you and a bunch of guys, three or four guys, are sitting at a sports bar, okay, and you're watching a game, golf tournament, whatever, are you breaking down every shot, every play? Probably not.
You're passively watching.
You're starting to talk. And so when you talk, is the conversation about nothing but sports? Not typically.
It's the girl in the front row. It's the nachos.
Yeah, it's the, yeah, man, my in-laws are coming over for the 4th, and I got a grill. What the hell do I grill?
How do I get them out of there as fast as possible?
Yeah, what do I do? What do I do?
Do I do afternoon? Do I do early evening? What do we do?
Stuff people talk about. They talk about politics. They talk about what's going on in the world. They talk about stuff. And then they'll talk about sports. And the only times, really, that you'll ever talk about a game is if the game was a freaking classic. Ole Miss, Arkansas, 7 overtimes.
4th and 26 or whatever it was.
Fourth and 20, whatever it was. The game 7 of the World Series. There are games that resonate with us because we're like, oh God! And then
everybody's always going to talk about Chad Kelly throwing the tip pass to Quincy Adebojo.
Yeah, and so you talk about that. The two Ole Miss Alabama games, the three Ole Miss Alabama games. Ole Miss went 2-1 in them. The last three Ole Miss Alabama games have been classics where you finish and you sit at the sports bar and you're like, yeah, that third down call, I did.
Yeah.
But come on.
And otherwise, just minutia.
And so you have to have something different. And there's so many people in our field, thank God, because they're bad and we make money because they're not good. They're not good. They don't understand that. And the whole I get accused of this. I got accused of this a lot when I left print to come here. You're a sellout. Okay. What does that mean? Well, you sold out. Sold out of what? And so what it got into was, well, you're advertising. Damn right I'm advertising.
Yeah, you're not following the thing that makes us comfortable, is what it is.
Right. I'm not comfortable being sponsored by. Let me tell you, I'm comfortable being sponsored by. You want to sponsor me? Get in touch. You want to sponsor Chase? Get in touch. We're going to get Russell at some point on a recruiting podcast. And, yes, we are going to hit people up for advertising. But here's the thing. It works. Our advertising works. Russell's show will be popular. People like Russell. Don't even really know him yet.
Works his tail off.
They like him. The computer thing was hilarious.
All bracket things aside, I mean, he's going to get votes against Yancey in that bracket thing.
Got a chance to win, I think.
Yeah.
Whatever winning is in
yeah,
that.
I don't know.
But
when are you going to start campaigning against Gene? You gonna put banners up? We're gonna take out TV ads. What are we doing?
Who am I against?
Gene Swindle.
Is that who I'm up against?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, I don't. I probably don't have a chance in that. I wouldn't think, and I'm not.
Well, Chris said all the state beat writers are gonna win.
Yeah. It doesn't. None of that. That doesn't do anything.
Not changing your day.
No, not even a little bit. I just that's as I said. I don't use Twitter in that way.
Okay.
I can't. I haven't figured out how to monetize Twitter. And so I'm not as interested in it as I am things that I can monetize.
I don't think it can be monetized.
So I'm interested in things that I can monetize. So if that makes me a sellout, I am sold out.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just full circle, though. I mean, it's not like we're sitting here going, hey, you really ought to go buy these Washington State, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's people. I'm trying to sell you on people.
Yeah, and the video thing, we went through the video circuit for a little while. We tried it. There were people that went years ago, man, before you started, it was, hey, y'all got to have more video on your site. And so video was like put highlights. break something there, buddy. No one watches those things.
Well, that's what's funny is I look at it and I go, okay, well, maybe on some national level or something, but from the minor level that we do this, I look at my written stuff versus my videos and go, nobody's watching the video.
Not even ever. A little bit. The only video they watch is they watch Instant Analysis.
And they watch Freeze. That's it.
And ironically, back in the day when they would give us Laramie on rare occasion, people would watch that. People would watch Robert Kimdichie.
And Laquan.
People stopped watching Bo Wallace every week. People stopped watching Chad Kelly.
Nobody watches coordinators.
No one watches the coordinators. And when I say no one, if you're the guy out there going, I watch it every time, I get it, but you're in the minority.
I'll put it this way. If I put up a video of Bo Wallace and I write a story with Bo Wallace's quotes, it was going to be about 400% more on the written word.
Yeah.
On average, about 4-1.
And what a lot of these national sites do is they put video embedded in the story that automatically runs with an ad at the top.
Blares you out when you're...
And so if you're doing something at work or at an airport or whatever, you hit the button. You stop it. You X out.
Video is the same thing to me as the sites that do the big slideshows trying to get more hits. When I see it's a slideshow, I just stop. I don't care that much.
X.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'll move on. Not slideshowing.
I get annoyed by having to click different pages on internet stories. I go, you know, the page can go down as far as you'd like it to. It's the internet. We don't have to jump to page 4.
And I think when people know that you're trying to clickbait them.
Yeah, people aren't as dumb as a lot of people try to make people out to be.
Well, they figured it
out.
There
is a dumb segment.
Yes.
But everybody's not dumb. It's like on Twitter the other day with maybe it was the MTV guy going, well, MTV's moving to video now. Nobody reads long form. That's not true. The biggest hits that anybody has are the well-done long forms. Now, long forms are also a gamble because they got to be good. You got to hit.
It's got to be really good.
But if you hit, no, it's your biggest content thing you've done.
Yeah, I've read some of the stuff in some of the Oklahoma sites and stuff since Russell Westbrook won the MVP the other day, and some of the long form stuff is just terrific.
I guess there could be something that comes about. I'm probably not going to get more page hits and impressions off a story the rest of 2017 compared to the Mike Bianco story the first day of the season.
No,
probably not.
Given what might come in 2017,
well, maybe I'm wrong. Never mind.
But
yeah, I'm sorry. Oral history, NCAA investigation. I will get more hits.
But your point's well taken. I wasn't trying to be a jerk. I just was having some fun. But
that's fair.
But yeah, no, it's the stuff people like to read.
Yeah.
When Houston Nutt ended, and I had that long column ready about here's why it failed. Here's why today happened.
Yeah.
That thing was downloaded and read. People read 10 thoughts. We can see how long you're on it. People read stuff. The whole everyone's too stupid to read anymore is just not true.
And people are going to find the people they enjoy. That's the whole bit of this, is that so many of these ad things, so many of these companies are just putting ads in front of aggregation where it doesn't matter where it comes from. But the majority of people still go, no, I want to read Bruce Feldman. I want to read Stuart Mandel. I want to read whomever. Dan Wetzel does a lot of good stuff, as much as we make fun of certain people. People want to read stuff. They want to listen. I mean, if we changed every bit of where we put our podcast, most of you guys would find it. Go somewhere else. You wouldn't click the button on the front of the page because it's not there. It's somewhere else. You'd get it. I mean, that's what I said in that passing time with Chris. And it's not even a, hey, do this for me or do this for you or anybody else. Media members are brands now because it's so much competition. It's so much difference of opinion that when you find somebody who entertains you, informs you, and you spend your discretionary time reading their work, that makes an impact on people. So that's how this thing all plays in together.
So what happens to all these people?
Well, Bruce is still going to do TV for Fox Sports. Now, he had to write somewhere else, but he's still doing TV for Fox. He's a sideline reporter for their college football games, different things. I mean, this all broke because he and Stuart Mandel stopped their podcast, which was highly successful, the Audible. They said, look, this is the last one because Fox no longer has us as whatever. So they've stopped their podcast. Clearly, they can't do the podcast when they work for different companies. It sounded like Stewart had something he's about to announce fairly soon, has another job lined up with someone. But that market right now is just saturated as Bleacher Report, ESPN, Fox Sports, Sports Illustrated. Everybody has cut editorial people in their offices. So.
Yeah, and everyone – it's why Andy Staples has done well. Andy was smart. You have to be different. You have to be genuine. You have to be all. But you have to be different. The barbecue thing.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you met somebody who doesn't like food?
No, it resonates. Andy does a good job with video, Facebook Lives.
Yeah.
Hey, I got 10 minutes. Ask me some questions. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Does a good job. So.
It's just the old traditional media model. It just doesn't really work anymore.
Yeah, more on that in the coming days, I'm sure. Media is a mess right now, but we're here. We're talking to you. One last topic before we close for the day.
Okay.
Let's hit our message board. You were gone, but we talk about it all the time, so we can't miss a Rocky topic when it comes up.
Okay.
Did you see the story, the link, where he put out a picture on Instagram. By the way, Sylvester Stallone's a really good Instagram follow because he puts out tons of old archive photos from movies and different things.
Okay.
And it's a picture of him standing on his head in the corner up against the turnbuckle during filming for Rocky IV.
Okay.
Okay. Think Rocky IV. Pretty sure Rocky IV. No, I'm sorry, Rocky III. I'm wrong.
Okay.
When he was really lean. Remember when he fighting Clubber Lang there at the end? He got incredibly lean?
Yes.
Okay. So he explained that, he's, quote, between rounds, I would get lightheaded and quite exhausted. I was on a very high protein diet, which did not provide much physical or mental energy. So I would literally go to the corner between rounds when I wasn't directing and try to get blood back into my head so I could carry on with the complicated fight choreography. So you really missed out, Neil, here. All you had to do was follow the Rocky diet to lose all that weight a few years ago. You really didn't need to do P90X, run 20 miles a day. All you had to do was, quote, during this period, I only ate very small portions of oatmeal cookies made with brown rice and 25 cups of coffee a day with honey and a couple scoops of tuna fish. His entire diet during filming for Rocky III.
Good Lord.
Oatmeal cookies made with rice, 25 cups of coffee, and a couple scoops of tuna fish. Says that his body fat percentage got down to 2.9%, which is a really dangerous level.
Yeah, it's unhealthy when people are punching you.
It's fair enough. He's motivated. I'll give him credit.
Wow.
He goes, I may have looked pretty good on the outside, but inside it was very dangerous.
Yeah, that's not good.
2.9%. We're just off that. I mean, I'm almost there.
I really am.
Just move a decimal point.
I was proud of myself last night because there was pizza in the refrigerator, and it was like so tempting, man. Just heat up some pizza.
Didn't do it.
I fixed a salad. Had some broiled chicken. I was smart. I was proud of myself.
All right, 30 seconds. Completely support the decision to cut Montero.
Yes.
Okay.
Had to be done.
1 for 31, hard to do.
Well, he was right about Arrieta.
But 1 for 31 is not just Arrieta. That's every pitcher.
Well, especially when the very next day with John Lester on the mound, Wilson Contreras is throwing people out.
The dude who doesn't throw to first.
Yeah. No. And I like Montero is one of those guys. It's funny. Never was one of my favorite Cubs. But, you know, he had a huge hit in Game 7, so he'll always have a soft spot. But no, you have to clean that out. That can't happen. He can't call out.
Young team that's currently scuffling.
Young team scuffling. Lots of young guys in the clubhouse who thought they'd be in Iowa right now playing. That's confusing. You have to send a message. It shows you the impact of leadership on a team, the impact of chemistry on a team. The loss of David Ross. Offensively, defensively, yeah, whatever. Wasn't very good anymore at the end. Leadership, huge. Dexter Fowler, I love Dex. Even though he's playing for the Cardinals, I still cheer for the guy. It tells you what I think about him. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't had a great year in St. Louis at all, but they miss his leadership. They miss that I don't know what the word is, just sort of, he was affable. He was a guy that took the stuff off. And then, you know, the guys that are leaders on that team are hurt right now, Hayward and Zobrist and those guys. So, no, it was a decision that they had to make. And, yeah, I still think they're probably going to be okay. Did you see where yesterday Trey Turner gets his wrist broken? Already within hours, talk that the Nationals and the Reds are going to possibly hook up on a Zach Cozart deal. Zach Cozart, voting ended last night at midnight. I think he'll find out on Sunday. It's really close. He and Corey Seager. Zach Cozart could make the All-Star team as a starter on a team that is the worst team in the Central, maybe the worst team in the National League. Really remarkable. Zach Cozart was not a household name entering this season.
No. It's really hit, though.
He's really hit.
He's always played defense.
He's popular on his team, and Joey Votto, who's a weird but funny dude, kind of made it a personal mission
to get him in the All-Star game.
With the donkey thing and all that stuff. And Votto's off the wall a little bit. And it's worked, because I caught myself when I voted. I'd vote all Cubs, except I'd vote for Cozart. And it was the Votto thing. I want to see the damn donkey story now. And so, I don't know, that'll be fun to see what happens this weekend. Two or three close races in the National League. I don't know that. I'm glad this year it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who wins. As much as I love Chris Bryant, Arenado should be the starting third baseman. Didn't stop me from voting for Bryant 35 times, but,
you're part of the problem.
I'm part of the problem, yeah. What's interesting is the guy that, with the Cubs, that probably deserves to be an All-Star, won't be, because he'll lose to a traditional guy. Wilson Contreras has a really good argument to be the starting catcher in the National League, but it'll be Buster Posey until he can't walk anymore.
All right, thanks for hanging in with us this week. We took one day off, and then we've had a good selection of guests over the course of the week as well. Brett, Corey Keyes, Chris Brooks today. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but either way, that is the show for today. Last thing, thanks to all of you always for continuing to use our Amazon link. Just bookmark that. Go to it when you can. It's on the content item. It's on the message board. It's all over the place. So appreciate that. You still get Prime. You still get Pantry. You get everything you normally get with Amazon. Also, making them available starting probably in a couple days more publicly, but if you would like a koozie, a pint glass, or a coffee mug, just of the podcast, of our collection of podcasts. We've got some of those. We can make that too easy for you at a pretty good price. We worked out that deal with Pole Chaps a few months ago from an advertising swap. So we've got pint glasses. So they're 16 ounces. We've got coffee mugs and koozies as well. So send me an email, chase.parm@gmail.com. I can hook up you with that. I can mail them out to you. So shoot me an email, and we'll take care of you, and we will talk to you on Monday.